This is the January 3rd open meeting of the Pacifica National Board. We're beginning at 7:36. I'll ask our Secretary of Fiat Wangaza to call the roll.
Shram Agnir.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg. Can't hear you, Tracy. Andrea Turner.
Present.
Joe Wandala. Can't hear you, Joe. Sean O'Brien.
Present.
Leslie Radford. Leslie. Summer Reese. Rico Ross.
Present.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alberto Luera.
I'm here too.
George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzel.
Here.
Mia Bediaco.
Present.
Kathy Davis.
Here.
Jennifer Jaeger.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Alonzo Brown. Campbell Johnson.
Present.
Kimmery Orendorf. Marcel Reed. Jim Bennett.
Present.
Isia Wangaza, present. I believe we have a quorum. I have no request for excused absences, and I would ask if Bill Crozier would be willing to keep time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I assume you got that I'm here, Isia.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
And Leslie's here.
Leslie, okay.
Is Ricardo
Thank
here?
Thank you.
Myself is here.
Is Ricardo here? I got a nod.
Usually some record is kept of the staff who's here. Yes. LaVarne and Arlene.
Is LaVarne here?
No.
Okay.
Ricardo's on, though.
Ah, good, good.
Thank you.
As Richard pointed out just before we got online, our first item on the agenda is approval of minutes just before agenda approval. It really does make more sense to approve the agenda before we go into the agenda. So if there's no objection, I'm just going to reverse the order of that, and I'll accept motions to correct the agenda. Is there any objection to not approving the minutes first, but doing agenda approval first? Okay, hearing none. Are there any changes to the agenda? I sent it out for the last time around 4:30 my time, I think, which is Eastern time.
Richard?
Okay. For those of us, if I could just say, for those of us on working off of iPad or iPhone, a yellow print is awfully hard to read.
Let me say that I do not send it out with yellow print. I do not know why it arrives with yellow print. The thing to do, you can change the color of the print with a setting. So just change it back to black. Let's see. Yes, it was sent out at 4:20 today. Richard, go ahead.
Yes, there's in finance, which is on yours, it's under 3C1 or something like that. The Finance Committee, there's going to be a motion about the meeting in Houston. I'd like to place my motion about that same meeting that talks about the FSRN. I'd like to place that as, what would that be, 1A or something like that? It would be in there with a similar kind of conversation.
Richard, as I've said to the entire board, and I've so told you, the motion as it stands can't be moved because it conflicts with the bylaws. However,
well, I disagree, and I'll call.
You may disagree,
and I would like
you may disagree, but that is my ruling on it.
I would
However,
like to.
Would you please let me finish? You can't appeal a ruling which is, Richard, would you please let me finish speaking? I would be glad to let you do that if you'll let me finish speaking.
Can you bring yourself to order and quit yelling, please?
Would you please stop speaking so that I can continue?
Would
Thank
you. Quit yelling?
Arlene, I believe, is going to raise the issue in the executive director's report, which is the first item on the agenda, when it will be possible to change the date of the meeting and to do what we want to do in terms of FSRN. Arlene, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So there is no need to do this, to put this forward. We'll be able to address the issue.
Point of
Thank
information.
You. I appreciate you not
about,
yelling at
about
me.
About rules of order.
Thank you. I appreciate you not yelling at me.
Point of information.
But I ask you to stop speaking if you would do so. Yes, who's the point of order?
Point of information. Did I hear someone else come on?
If you're not sure that you were heard as being here, please say your name now.
This is Tracy. I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard Marcel and Tracy.
And this is Joe.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other items for the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yes, this is Campbell.
Yes.
And there's the matter that we had, that I presented at the last meeting regarding recommendations for standing rules for the board to establish for the, you know, so that the incoming board would be having a leg up on getting its fiduciary responsibilities undertaken.
Yes.
And I had sent that around prior to the last meeting and sent it around again today.
Point of order.
Let him finish speaking so I get what the request is before we do a point of order.
Subject, I think, is standing rule, and you should have in your...
Was this a motion that should have been on new business that isn't?
I think it should be on unfinished since we didn't really vote on it at all, but it was presented for the last meeting.
Was it ever a motion that came to the floor?
It didn't come to the floor as a motion to be acted upon, no.
So I think it needs to be a new business. Since you did send it around more than 7 days before, is that correct?
Yes, it was sent around more than 7 days
before. It should have been a new business. That's my oversight. We'll put it in. We'll put it into new business. I can't believe we're actually going to get to that today, but it will be there.
And
should we get
there? I saw a thing from Richard, and I didn't know that the governance committee was working on this arena. So, you know, if there's some additions or adjustments, I think that would be useful. But well, we can discuss that under new business.
Okay. There was a point of order. Is that still relevant?
Yeah, that is still relevant. As I understand it, sir, standing rules take more than a majority vote, and also under Robert's Rules of Order, no session or board can tie the hands of another board with standing rules. I believe that's page 85.
I think you're right about standing rules, but let's address that when we get to it. It's not on the agenda yet.
Well, that's why I'm saying I'm not sure this should be on the agenda.
Well,
I think it's a dilatory...
even if it requires a two-thirds vote, it can be considered. Standing rules can be considered, and they have to be on the agenda in order to be considered. So, I don't see the problem. When we get to it, we'll deal with where it should appropriately be.
Thank you.
Anything else for the changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing nothing.
George. George,
Bill,
did you see my email? I wanted a couple of minutes for the personnel committee.
Oh, I'm sorry. You did, Bill. I did see it, and I didn't put it on. Right after audit committee, please remind me if I don't remember when we get there.
Okay.
2 minutes for the personnel committee announcement.
Excuse me. I'd like to make a motion that affiliate task force be moved below audit and election. I'm sorry, personnel.
You want to make it last?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Any objection?
Okay. I object.
Okay.
Point of information,
what,
sir?
Who
objected? Who objected?
Richard did. Okay, well, I guess let's take a vote on that. Afee, would you call the roll?
I'd like to.
Well, is there
I'd
a discussion
like to,
on it? You can say what your objection is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear the reason why we need to move it up. It's right there next to that same thing.
Afee, do you want to respond?
To move it to last because of the importance of the other reports and the amount of discussion that they are likely to generate. In fact, that they're we need to have around them.
May I respond?
Is there anybody else that wants to speak to this issue of whether to move it forward or not? Sorry, backwards.
I'm sorry. I got some. It broke up when Richard was making his objection. Could you just briefly restate it there, Richard? I didn't get it.
Well, I'd ask why was it necessary to move it up since all that stuff is right there together.
Having heard the reason, do you still want to object, Richard?
Sure, because I think that the affiliates thing has been close three or four times. And it's moved itself up to that point. All the audit is, you're showing 10 minutes for the audit, and personnel, I think you said 2 minutes. I don't see the reason to expedite the audit committee thing or the personnel thing. Task force has, like I say, worked its way up to that point. We've been working for months on this stuff, and I think we need to just come on with it.
Okay. Can we go to a vote on this? Is there anybody else who wants to speak to it? Good. Afee, would you call the roll, please?
Shram Agmir?
A yes vote.
We're voting on?
Yes. It's to change the order of the Affiliates Task Force, the Audit Committee, and the personnel, which are presently in that order, to be with the Affiliates Task Force last. So a yes vote is to make that change. Go ahead.
Shram Agmir?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner? Andrea?
She's muted.
Joseph Wanzawa?
Yes.
Sean O'Brien?
Yes.
Leslie Radford?
No.
Summer Reese? Rico Ross.
Abstain.
Bill Crozier.
Abstain.
Alberto Luera.
Yes.
Richard Uzel.
No.
Mia Bediaco.
No.
Yeah.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jennifer Jaeger?
Yes. Okay.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Alonzo Brown? Campbell Johnson?
No.
Emery?
This is Andrea. I'm sorry if you called. I'm back.
Yes, I did. What is your? How do you vote?
No. Thank you. I'm sorry. I
went out on this thing.
Kimry Orendorf. Marcel Reed.
No.
Jim Bennett.
No.
Ifea Wangaza, yes.
This is Bill. I'm going to change my vote to no.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Alberto would like to change his vote to no, too.
Okay. With those changes, what's the count, Ifea?
Just a moment. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, no.
Okay, so the motion fails. Is there any other changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes. You have two sets of open minutes that were sent out much earlier. I sent them out in a folder a little while ago, about 6:30, I guess.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Alberto moves to accept the minutes as presented.
Both of them or one at a time?
No, both of them. Both of them.
Okay. I guess that's allowed. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Hearing no objection, both sets of open minutes are approved as amended. I want to remind you all that if you do find something later on, minutes are always subject to being amended, but of course it has to be run through the board to do so. Okay, the next item on the agenda is acknowledgments. I have one that I want to do. Ray Hill, who was one of the early managers of KPFT, nearly 40 years ago, he may have been the first, I'm not quite sure. He's been the host of the prison show for as many years as I've been participating, which is probably around 20. And the prison show is a really widely acclaimed prize show, won prizes for what it does, which is to allow people who are the families of prisoners in the extensive prison system that Texas has to get on the air and for the people that they love to be to hear them, to communicate with them. Of course, it's one way. He also does various issues around prisons, around the law, around in various ways. He's been a mainstay of the station for years, and I want to acknowledge his retirement last Friday. Anybody else?
Arlene? Yes, I'd like to acknowledge, I'm sorry, I don't have their names in front of me, but the two people in New York who have been working all night, most every night, to edit the Al Jazeera news so that all three stations can present it as part of their early morning broadcast. They've worked against them. It's my job, and I want to acknowledge them.
Okay. Are there any other acknowledgments?
Richard?
Yes, I'd like to acknowledge our affiliate coordinator, Ursula Rosenberg. Rutenberg, thank you. I knew that didn't sound right. She has been working with affiliates to and with FSRN to try to help them get some better fundraising together, and it has really helped our image and it's helped Pacifica's place with our affiliates, and I'd like to thank her, and I think Arlene has also been working on that effort, and I'd like to thank both of them for that. Thank you.
Go ahead.
LeVar, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to acknowledge the staff, the unpaid staff at KPFA who have worked under tremendous stress to put on the new morning show because of the need to reduce the need to reduce the workforce at KPFA and the paid host on the morning show, and that the unpaid staff have put on a show for the last, I guess, maybe 2 weeks, including during the fund drive, and that they have done this again under lots of stress, under lots of really hostile of attitudes directed toward them, and they have put on excellent material. And just want to acknowledge to that unpaid staff and to all the staff to say that, you know, and we have to, in order for KPFA to, and the Pacifica Foundation to remain a viable and solvent institution, you know, those were necessary, and we cannot allow, and that we must acknowledge all of the staff and to see that they are all involved in making sure that this, this media democracy and that our message that started 61 years ago continues. So again, just acknowledgement to the numerous people. I can name some: Anthony Fest, Carmen, Tara, Peter Phillips with at Sonoma State, and Adrian Lauby, and all of those, and to the staff there at KPFA, the paid staff who also has helped them. And, you know, just thanks a lot. Up the work. And also, I'd like to also support what Arlene said about the staff there at BAI in terms of getting out to zero.
Okay.
Arlene?
Arlene, was that you again?
Yes.
Good.
I'd also like to acknowledge the staff at all three stations, KPFA, KPFK, and AI, that held fund drives in December. They all pitched in and did some innovative things, and I think we learned one thing, and that is that December is a time for giving, and we should remember that. But I really acknowledge the staff at all three stations for the terrific job they did on the fund drives. And at KPFA, again, it was working against some terrific odds, but the staff pulled together in spite of everything.
Are there other... other acknowledgments?
Mr.
Okay.
Chairman,
yep.
I have a quick point of information.
Yes.
Do we have a consent agenda, I mean, item?
Yes.
I mean, do we
yes,
have
we
a consent?
Do.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
The next item is the chair's report. We haven't had any executive sessions since I last made a report on that. However, we have had an election for affiliates representatives. I want to congratulate Joseph Orozco and Afia Wangaza. Appreciate their willingness to be of service to the foundation. And in Afia's case, appreciate her long past service to the foundation. I also want to say we greatly appreciate Jim Bennett's service. He has been stellar in interacting with the affiliates, in being at the affiliates meetings. I've personally appreciated his thoughtfulness here on the board. I hope that he'll be willing to continue working in ways that we'll find to put him to use in the future. I want to thank Heather Gray also for her willingness to step forth and to be of service to the organization. The next item is...
I didn't feel I was waiting for you to see if somebody else. I would like to express my appreciation for the show of confidence of my colleagues who voted for me, re-elected me to continue to serve affiliates, my fellow affiliates, and look forward to working with the folk who come on anew and those who will remain.
Is there anyone else that wants to speak at this point? Okay, hearing none, the next item is the consent agenda. This is the motion commemorating service for Ibn Duli. You all have it in front of you. I will read it. It requires unanimous approval. Is there any objection to the board passing this motion in commemoration? Okay, hearing none, then I'll read the motion. The Pacific Foundation National Board of Director honors Ibn Duli, former program director of Atlanta's WFRG, Radio Free Georgia, and Pacifica National Board member. Ibn Duli was an activist, poet, scholar, and revolutionary in the tradition of the Black Arts Movement of the 1960s. He was born Leo Thomas Hale, the oldest child of Leo and Beatrice Hale of Milan, Tennessee, a schoolteacher and the grandchild of middle-class farmers. Ibn went to Nashville's Fisk University on an early entrance scholarship and served as managing editor of Fisk's literary magazine and newspaper, which included Nikki Giovanni as freshman reporter. As a regional honors scholar, he entered Columbia Law School in 1963. In New York, he was management trainee at Manufacturers Hanover Trust, a member of the Law Student Civil Rights Research Council, and volunteer for the Harlem Community Action Project of HARU Act. These experiences gelled at the 1967 Black Power Conference in Newark, New Jersey, and shaped his political and professional point of view and life journey. Unable to get a large enough scholarship to attend graduate school in business and impressed with intellectual, literary, artistic, and political energy of the Chicago delegation, Ibn went to Chicago. In Chicago, he served as grassroots community organizer and educator. He worked as a Vista Legal volunteer, witnessed the Chicago Democratic Convention in 1968, worked with youth gang leaders of the Main 21, and counseled local citizens in their struggle for civil rights. Ibn's Chicago experience was refined in the OBAC Writers Workshop, that's Organization for Black American Culture, founded in 1967. Here he internalized the importance of culture and communication in the struggle for human rights and published Revolution in 1968, referred to as a small but solid book of poetry. In 1969, he carried that vision and zeal to Atlanta, where he managed bookstores specializing in Afro-American works. In 1974, he was involved in the establishment of the Dunbar Center, the Atlanta Center for Black Arts, and the Arts Exchange. He served on the board of directors of the Southern Education Program, recruiting black teachers from the North for local colleges. As a CETA worker, 1975, he taught at Atlanta's Neighborhood Arts Center and served as acting director for 9 months. He understood these centers provided the opportunity for creative expression, community building, and empowerment. Reaching for a still greater tool for transformation and liberation, Ibn was one of the early organizers and founding champions of WRFG Community Radio. It was this spirit and vision that Ibn Duli brought to the Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors, taking one of the two seats designated for affiliate representatives. He called Pacifica's attention to the desperate need for more community radio stations in the southern United States and challenged it and community radio organizers to respond, thus birthing Radio South. Ibn Duli, in the tradition of grassroots organizing and an ever-present commitment to community empowerment, called for and laid the foundation for community education and outreach for applicants in the FCC's 2007 Southern Non-Commercial Education Radio filing window. Ibn embodied the spirit of service to people and saw community radio as a vehicle to empower them and realize a participatory democracy, self-determination. Thanks to Ibn's expanded vision of community radio, belief in local people, and his challenge heard by progressive radio organizers, his Radio South has brought community radio to Greenville, Mississippi, two different stations, Arcola, Mississippi, Clarksdale, Mississippi, Golden Meadow, Louisiana, Albany, Georgia, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and Port St. Joe, Panama City, Florida. These stations will amplify the voice and issues of the increasingly voiceless in the age of media conglomerates. Brother Dooley's spirit of service to community radio and belief in self-determination is instructive and inspirational to all committed to People's Radio. Long live the spirit of Leo Thomas Hale, Brother Ibn Duli, activist, poet, scholar, revolutionary, community radio organizer, and affiliate representative to the Pacifica National Foundation's Board of Directors. Ibn Duli, Ashe.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item, I believe, is the Executive Director's Report. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. Arlene, you have 15 minutes.
Okay. I have basically four items, and two of them require action. I wanted to report on the situation with general managers of our station. As we all know, we've already selected, and he's on board, Bertolt Reimers in New York. John Hughes started his employment with us today in Washington, and I spoke with him, and he was already handling issues there and getting to know the staff and beginning to take a look at how to proceed. And things are, I think, going to look up having someone on board like that. John Krigler told me he's going to give him a welcome call tomorrow. And on Wednesday, Ms. Pendial will join us at KPFA in Berkeley. He finally got his papers through, and so he will begin his tenure as general manager of the KPFA. So at this point, we have three of the four management vacancies filled, and we're working on the fourth one. As some of you are probably aware, there is a window for applications to Sirius for operating a channel there. We are submitting, if you give us a motion or a resolution that you support our application, we will be requesting one of these channels. According to John Krigler, they're probably going to be extremely competitive because this time they're open to both nonprofit and for-profit enterprises. But Pacifica certainly would be well served if it could be a part of that. And so we are going to do our best to get an application in by the close of applications on Friday. But we do need a resolution from the PNB supporting this.
Shall we stop now to do that?
That's okay with me.
For those of us who are a little bit unclear, explain what Sirius is?
Sirius is one of the channels that that offers all kinds of, generally speaking, single-topic programming. You can tune in to all conservative talk. You can tune in to all country music. You can tune in to all religious programming, various other kinds of programming. I'm sure there's some that's all business, all whatever, and we'd like to have one that is progressive talk radio, and picking up programs from our various sister stations and perhaps from some of the affiliates as part of the offerings that we would offer during a week. Many cars now come equipped with Sirius or XM. It is a pay-for channel that I know at least a friend of mine just got a new car, and she gets it free for the first 6 months. And at this point, she's pretty enamored with some of the programming, and so she's probably going to pay for it going forward.
Okay, I heard a motion. Who put forth the motion to support the ED in applying for a Sirius channel?
This is Tracy. I moved.
Was there a second?
Second, Rico, second.
Okay.
I have a point of information, George. I don't know if this has been discussed, and we just don't know it. I'd like to ask Arlene, does Pacifica have to pay anything?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I have a point of information. This is Alex.
Go ahead, Alex.
In view of the fact that Sirius is a for-profit enterprise and we are a non-profit enterprise, is there any problem in that as far as maintaining our nonprofit status? Has that been discussed with our FCC attorney, for instance?
Yes, it has. In fact, he's the one who contacted me and urged us to apply, and he's working with us on the application.
Chairman, may I speak? Rico.
Sean for the staff.
So they had applications that were set aside specifically just for nonprofits. So some of the channels there are nonprofit.
Mrs. Leslie with a point of information, if I may.
Okay. Point of information, go ahead.
Yeah. What was I just thinking? Oh, God. Can you get back to me, George? I just had...
Yes.
Thank
Rico.
You.
Rico to the stat.
You go ahead, Rico.
Yeah, I have Sirius Radio, and it does come with a lot of the new cars, and it's a bit like television for radio. It's without commercials, and you basically can just turn to a channel, and instead of getting the news, you can get all the news. So if you want all local news or all international news or all progressive or all conservative, it helps you to select what you want. And I think it's probably be the future. and we should definitely be on one of those dials.
Channels.
Sean?
Yeah, I support this too, and I think if I'd known this was going to come up, I would have said something under acknowledgments, because I know that Grace Aaron was pushing this way back when she was the IED. So I think we should thank her for the initial work that she did in putting this all together. Thank you.
Is there any objection?
This is Leslie. My questions. First of all, is there any consideration at this point of doing separate production for the Sirius channel? And does anybody know what the monthly cost of Sirius is?
I believe that my friend quoted $9.95.
Okay. And are we considering any production that would be exclusive to the Sirius channel?
We really haven't decided exactly what it would be. Initially, we're talking about utilizing existing programming, but there's always that possibility that we could go in a direction of some special programs. Possibilities are almost endless.
This is Jim, and I have a point of information, too.
Good, Jim.
Yeah, just to let you know, the first time that Pacifica applied to get on Sirius was when Dan Coughlin was the executive director of Pacifica. The application process was very competitive then, too, just as Arlene cautioned us. And what the result of that was that they told us that they might be interested in a program or two from Pacifica, but not an entire channel of programming, because they didn't have room for it then. And that was then, and this is now, and we should still apply, although Arlene did say it's going to be very competitive. It doesn't hurt to apply.
Is there any objection to this motion?
Come in.
Okay. Hearing none, then, you have unanimous support for going ahead with the application.
Afia, from you is, you know, an official statement from the Secretary of the Board. This is
okay.
Very well.
Thank you.
Do you have what you need, Afia?
We need
I think so. Whatever addition I need, I can get from her.
Okay.
Yeah. And we need it before we submit the application on Friday. Okay.
Okay.
The third thing is just a point of information. I wanted to just mention to everyone that if you haven't noticed it, Ursula has forwarded to the PNB her report on her trip to AMARC, and we're continuing to work with some of the issues that she uncovered there, and we'll be exploring that further. But I urge everyone to take a look, if you haven't already done so, at the report that she posted.
Let me add here, Arlene. I've invited Ursula to be on next week's, or the January 14th PNB meeting to present a report, at which time people will be able to ask her questions about AMARC and her experience down there.
Okay,
please
good.
Continue.
And then the last item has to do with the upcoming board meeting, which is at this point scheduled for January 21st to the 23rd. As I think everyone is aware by now, we have a major issue. Free Speech Radio News, and I really believe that that partnership is important for us. It's important for us as part of the affiliate program, as well as for our sister stations. I think we have one or two sister stations that don't actually carry the news or much of it, but even there, like in Los Angeles, where they don't carry it as a separate program, comes to them as part of the news that they carry, that's actually put together by KPFA. I think that it would be a tragedy if there were no national news source at all that Pacifica was involved with, and it's going to take some creative work in order for us to help keep Free Speech Radio News afloat during the coming month. I would like to support Richard's proposal that we take the money that we would have spent in January and get that to Free Speech Radio News to help with operations this month. I think we could send them $20,000. And if we were to postpone the meeting, I'm not suggesting that we don't need an in-person meeting, but if we were to postpone it to the third or fourth weekend of February, we can do so at no additional charge from the hotel. We would save considerable money because of the time that people would have to make air reservations in order to get there. For instance, I did a comparison today. Round trip from Oakland. If someone has reservation.
Someone is shouting in the background. You're online. Thank
you. With less than 7 days' notice, the round fare would be $875. If they have at least 7 days' notice at this point, they could get it for about $550. And if we were talking about one of the two weekends in February, or for that matter, anything over 2 weeks, we're talking around $440. So, you know, we're talking a considerable.
This is Summer on the line.
$500 per ticket.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. I was sitting here exploring with the iPhone, so I didn't get to check it for Washington and New York getting to Houston, but I imagine it would be somewhat comparable. So there'd be considerable savings in airfare. We'd lose nothing on the hotel. We'd get the same rates. And I think that we'd gain a lot in goodwill from affiliates and in our relationship with Free Speech Radio News. So I would like to propose that. I also think that right now we've got a potentially difficult situation in Houston over the Israeli consulate programming that's been there. I think that Duane is stepping in and trying to deal with that and make some changes, but I'd hate to see that become a major focus of our board meeting, and I think that if we had a board meeting in just 2 weeks, that easily could be the case.
Do you have a suggestion for the date in February to...
The dates that are available at the hotel would be either the weekend of February 18th or February 25th.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, who is that I heard first?
Richard in Alberto.
And this is Summer to the stack, if there's a
Alberto,
stack.
Go ahead.
Is a motion in order, Mr. Chairman?
It is, yes.
25th of February would be a good date. And I make that motion that we postpone the meeting of the National Board to the 25th of February, that weekend. And I would before I leave the podium, I would like to point out that besides the issues presented by our executive director, there's the other very big factor that we need to allow time to the new delegate assemblies to elect their representatives, and I think that the process is currently not going as fast and as smooth as we would hope it would in a couple of the signal areas. So that would also give us a breathing room to allow delegates to be elected and be ready to take their post if it gives us another month worth of time. And that's my motion, that we go ahead and do that, sir.
Is there a second for that?
Point of information?
And point of information,
Let me see if I have a second for the motion first.
Second.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. I think I heard Nia first for point of information.
No, actually, it was me.
And Leslie
Sharam
would like to be a...
Who did I hear?
This is Sharam. How are you?
Sharam, sorry.
I'm sorry. That's all right. So I don't have the copy of the bylaws in front of me, so... Is that going to pose a problem in terms of seating the new directors?
The bylaws are written in a way that indicates that you can move the date around. But there has to be a January meeting, but one interpretation of the bylaws is that the date doesn't actually have to be in January. And we have, in fact, had April meetings in March meetings in April and June meetings in July, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So, I think in practice the answer is no. It doesn't pose a legal question, although it is in practice it doesn't propose, it doesn't there is no problem there with the bylaws.
Thanks.
Mr. Chair, this is Richard. Am I on that stack right next?
And Summer, do you have me on the stack?
And Leslie would like to be on the stack also.
I heard a point of information from Summer next.
Thank you.
Nia on the stack, please, George.
And I have Richard, and then somebody else wanted to be on the stack, which I didn't quite get.
Leslie? Tracy, I have a question. I have a point of information.
Okay, so
and we're out of time.
We're out of time.
For the ED report.
Extend time for this.
Richard, move to extend time for 10 minutes.
Is there any objection to extending time? Is there a second for that?
Second.
Is there any objection to extending time for 10 minutes? Hearing none. Go ahead, Summer.
Thank you. And I'd like to be on the regular stack as well later, please. And I apologize for being late to the meeting. Today's date was not convenient, but... I wanted to just hit the highlights for me. I understand we owe FSRN money, how much it is and what we're saving. And are we holding the meeting in February in Houston? And what is this Israeli consulate situation? Without reiterating everything, could you just hit, like, the numbers and the key? Thank you.
Whoa.
And the Israeli consulate, what beef are we having with the Israeli consulate? And just what is the amount of money? And the February meeting, is it still going to be in Houston? Thank you.
You want me to answer
I certainly ask on the money. I could answer for the yes. The meeting has to be in Houston.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. With the amount of money,
and I could also say something about the Israeli consulate, although I don't want to get into involved in much.
I don't want to have a long discussion. I just have no idea what you're talking about at all.
This is LaVarne. I can give you the amount that we owe FSRN.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. And the amount of the Houston meeting, please, and what changes there are. And I just want to remind everyone, my ticket to Washington D.C. from Los Angeles cost $220 last year on Southwest Airlines, and that was booked only like 2 weeks in advance. So there are cheap tickets out there. You have to look for them. That's just, you know. So anyway, yes, please.
What I've done is priced them on Southwest, and the difference is $400 to $500 if you book under 7 days.
Right, of course. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, totally.
Could we not have this discussion? LaVarne, please. How much do we owe FSRN?
LaVarne, the amount that we have as of December the 30th for FSRN is $120,662.38.
Okay. And the cost of the Houston meeting, please?
I think that others have been working with it. I think we have it down to about 15. Is that correct, George?
Assuming that the airfare goes up between $100 and $200, that's the upper limit, yes.
Okay. And so we are planning to give this money directly to FSRN as a payment on our accrued debt to them. Is that correct?
Well, this is LaVarne. I'd just like to say that, you know, we will balance what we owe to FSRN with the other concern is WPFW in terms of their next fund drive and meeting payroll and benefits. So we'll have to balance those two desperate requirements. And so I can't say that would go directly to FSRN.
So is WPFW's payroll part of the consideration of canceling the PNB meeting for January? Or is that...
No. The WPFW's budget is always concerned in terms of, meeting payroll is because they...
This is becoming an extended conversation.
Yes, of course.
The point of information was asked and answered.
And the Israeli consulate thing, could you just cover that, George, briefly, so I just know what the issue is?
We have a KPFT, something called Open Journal, in which community shows come in. People who want to put on a show,
sure.
Get a half an hour to sort of try things out.
Okay.
That show was, several of those shows were donated by the program director to a show to be put on by the, with the staff of the Israeli consulate. This created a considerable uproar in Texas, Houston, and in fact that has now been changed. There will be several more shows with the Jewish community in Houston, but it will not be with the Israeli consulate, so that's where it sits now.
Okay, well that seems appropriate, or balance it out with the Lebanese, Syrian, and a few other consulates, or whatever, but okay, thank you. That tells me what the issue was, or
okay,
is.
And so you think that
will be cool?
No, Summer, you've had, that's it.
Thank you.
Tracy, I think, had a point of information. Tracy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. Two points of information. They'll be fast. The first is, just to be clear that I'm understanding, we're proposing donating $20,000 to Free Speech Radio News in January. and then having a board meeting in February to cost $15,000. So if I'm doing my math, we're proposing spending $35,000 over the next 60 days rather than spending 15 or 20 having a meeting in January. So that's the first question. Aren't we, in fact, spending more money than we would otherwise be spending? The second question is, how do we intend to deal with the requirements to elect our officers? What will we be doing? We'll be seating the board by teleconference and then doing what for the next month? Has that been thought through?
Let me respond to that. Based on a conversation I had with Arlene, it's not in the motion, so I think you're quite right. Something has to be done about that. There will be people elected to this board who should be taking their seats. The suggestion was that between now and the February meeting, rather than have no meetings, that board would actually be seated. Those of us who are continuing would continue, except for the officers, because we don't want to ask them to try to elect officers without ever having met each other and without having time together at an in-person meeting. So the suggestion was that they would become the PND. We would schedule a teleconference of the sort that we've been having, 3 hours, et cetera, to handle urgent business, and that the officers, which would be myself, Joe, and Afia, would continue, I presume, in an ex officio capacity. I would be essentially chair pro tem for the meetings, and they could do whatever they wanted after the first meeting in terms of subsequent meetings. But that was the suggestion.
George,
yes?
Point of information.
Yes.
Point of information. Who made that suggestion? It wasn't in the motion I heard.
No, it wasn't in the motion. Exactly. I'm suggesting that Tracy's
You're
point is...
You're suggesting it.
Well, actually, Arlene suggested
it. You keep saying
it's
been suggested, and I was wondering who made that suggestion. That's all.
Okay. So I think we do need to deal with this. If we're going to pass this motion, I think we do need to do something about seating the people who are legitimately going to be the PNB, not us. So anyway, that's a problem, and it has to be handled with an amendment or not at all, but that's a suggestion as to how to handle it.
I'm charging for the stack on that, but I also have a point of information.
Okay. Well, what's your point of information?
This blow-up with the Israeli consulate and everything, was that a reaction to Al Jazeera? Because they seem to have landed right on top of each other.
I'm told not. It had nothing to do with it.
It had to do with anti-Semitic remarks.
Tracy, who had the floor and the point of information. So thank you for addressing that, sort of, George, the second part. And then the first part, I am correct that we're proposing spending, giving $20,000 to FSRN in January, then spending $15,000 in February on the meeting for a total of
$35,000. Not giving, paying our bill.
Please. Richard, you don't have the floor. You don't have the stack.
Okay, am I the next one on the stack? Yes, sir, I should be the next one on the stack.
You are, but you do not have the floor until I give it to you.
In expenses.
Tracy,
okay,
please finish what you had
over
to say.
So we are proposing $35,000 in expenses over the next 2 months rather than 15 in January. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Richard,
you
know.
You see a stack, please.
Okay, I have Richard and Leslie on the stack.
I heard Nia earlier.
Who else? I now hear Afia. Is there anybody else who wishes to be on the regular staff? Would you please let me finish speaking before you start speaking? Is there anybody else who wishes to be on the stack?
Yeah, I thought you were finished.
Several times, and I don't think you can hear me.
And, Summer, did you get me?
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, Arlene.
And Bill.
Jim.
Marcel to the stack, please.
Okay, I have now Richard, Leslie, Nia, Bill, Jim, and Marcel.
Did you not
get
Summer?
Did I miss anybody?
Before, when I had point of information, I said I wanted to be on
the stack. Yes, you did say that.
I said it like three or four times.
I'm going to put you
in
after Nia.
Thank you.
Before Bill.
Chair, I have asked a number of times to be on the stack.
Yes, you did. I'm going to put you in after Summer. Okay, Arlene, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to address that $35,000 issue. We owe this money to FSRN, so it's not like we're taking on an additional something that we don't owe. It's just a matter of finding a way to pay that bill, And by putting off the $15,000 for the board meeting until February, we're kind of trading one against the other until we begin to get some income from the winter fund drive. And that's what we're balancing there. If we were to pull that money out of the meager reserves at this point, I mean, we're already in a situation where WBAI owes KPFK $50,000. And as LaVarne mentioned, Washington payroll is a real problem until they have their winter fund drive. And so we have to somehow balance all of these expenses. We did send one payment of $52,000 to Democracy Now. That's only a drop in the bucket for what we owe. We have attorney's fees. We have a lot of things that need to be paid. But we certainly need some kind of a national news presence. And if that would help them survive, which I believe it would, that's an important expense.
I have a point of information, or rather a comment, something in between. I've been asking for, and the board has been asking for, projected cash on hand for some time now. Can we have a time when we're likely to have that, so we'll be able to look ourselves at how much cash we have, when we're going to need it, when we're likely to run out of money, et cetera. LaVarne, is there a time when we were going to be able to get that?
I think that what we talked about was when we're trying to pull the budget together, and the cash flows for the year are in each one of the budgets. So when we can pull those together, we can get that. But I have a number here. I do a little spreadsheet, Lynn and I both, to see where we are on a daily, our estimate, but it's not exact. But the cash flow that you want is the one from the budget, and that's the one that we're trying to pull together.
Okay, so that won't happen until after we complete the KPFK budget, is that right?
That should. I'll have KPFA, the latest on KPFK's budget, I'll have it like by Wednesday of this week. So let's say Friday, I'll have my preliminary. I can get it out to you for
great.
Sure.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
Point of information, this is something that we will be doing at least monthly going forward.
Right.
Okay.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
How much do we owe Democracy Now right now?
Well, what we actually owe Democracy Now, the number is, I'll give you the exact number. I believe I know what it is, but I'll give you the exact number.
You can round it off. A ballpark estimate will do.
It's about
10 months.
$400,000.
Thank you.
And that does not include actually the last payment, the 50. So it would be $370 with the payment that we have.
Okay, we have a
start. We're out of time.
We're out of time.